It's the episode number 50 of the DJMCloud.com podcast. With me, Dan McKeown.
Like it like that. Okay.
And with Jessica McKeown.
Oh, hello everybody.
So, this episode is very special. Episode recorded on October 8, 2012. And this is going to consist of a discussion of The Hobbit, probably the part of the book that will cover the first and second movies of three that are going to come out over the next few years. Now, this is based on the J.R.R. Tolkien book, so I'm going to be talking about the story of that book. I don't know what Peter Jackson is going to do with the movies, but the same guy that did The Lord of the Rings trilogy is going to do a Hobbit trilogy. So we're going to talk about the plot. Basically, here's the pitch. I'm telling Jessica the story of The Hobbit. I'm trying to keep her interested. And she's here to, she can ask me questions or she can try to throw me off the scent, do whatever she wants because, you know, she's adorable and, you know, I like hanging out with her. So whatever she wants to do, I'm happy to have her along.
Oh.
So I read The Hobbit and I did see that cartoon version of it when I was a kid, but I can't tell you exactly what happens there. I have these kind of crazy vague memories of it. Did you see that?
I did.
It was sort of trippy, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Was.
I read the book, except I'm about 30 pages from the end. In the ebook, I'm reading it. I was talking to Jessica on the way here about the bookstore that I got it from. I was trying Google Play books because I usually use Amazon Kindle books, but I tried Google Play and I think it's pretty good. But like I was telling Jessica, it's not quite where Amazon Kindle is. I don't know, like what in terms of ebooks. Which platform have you liked? I know you've tried iBooks, right?
That's the only one that I've tried.
But you have an iPad, so it makes sense for people who have iPads to use iBooks. But if you don't have an iPad like me, then you know this. It's really one of the opportunities to read other than on your iPhone.
Yeah, and I don't like reading on my iPhone all that much. I actually like it on my iPad a lot better. But I do like that you can jump between if you want to. I guess I just don't have a lifestyle like where I jump between. When I'm reading, you know, when I'm reading, I sit down and take out the iPad.
Cool. Well, when I've read this book on my tablet, I've been reading it on a little bit on vacation. I got when we were up in Michigan and I've kind of read it on and off with different, you know, levels of attention. But as far as I can recall, it basically starts in the Shire. And we were introduced to the house of Bilbo Baggins. It's a hobbit hole. So Bilbo Baggins is a halfling. And that's, I guess, a kind of a species or a group of very small creatures that are somewhat like humans, but small and peculiar. And so people who've seen the Lord of the Rings movies or read those books are certainly familiar with those. Now, one of the main characters, I guess, in the Lord of the Rings, Frodo Baggins, is the nephew of one of the key characters, the main hobbit in this story, person that the book is named after, who's Bilbo Baggins. So Bilbo Baggins has typical hobbit manners in a lot of ways, and he likes to just be in his comfortable home with a nice warm fire, or with a nice kettle, or a pan of bacon, or whatever. And so when the wizard Gandalf comes in with a group of dwarves, he doesn't really know what to do, and he's very concerned, and he says, "What's going on? And I can't believe this." And basically, Gandalf tells him that he's going on an adventure, and he's going to be the burglar for the dwarves. And that, you know, the dwarves have a mission. The dwarves had they used to be led by the king under the mountain, and the lonely mountain had many halls and chambers carved out of it by the dwarves of many years ago, and they were prosperous, and they lived a long way from the Shire where Bilbo Baggins lives, but they're on their way back there because the grandson of the former king, a guy named Thorin, is going back there to get the gold out of that mountain. Now, the gold is controlled and guarded by a very powerful, dangerous creature.
What kind of creature?
It's a dragon.
Oh, okay.
His name's Smaug. Now, in order to try to find this dragon, they set out with supplies from the Shire, and they're working their way toward the Misty Mountains when they encounter a group of trolls. And this is an illustration of how in The Hobbit, it's a small group. It's a hobbit and dwarves, and some of the time Gandalf is with them. So the world around them, these are very small creatures. So the world around them is very big. So they have to, like, there's a great sense of scale and scope to the story because there's so many things going on around them. It's not, as maybe as driven by the protagonist as the Lord of the Rings series, where there's many people and some of them are powerful that are getting together, you know, to accomplish, you know, some things. And in this case, this is a small band that right away runs into trouble with trolls. Now, I'm trying to think exactly what happens, but basically, they have a confrontation, and they some of them get captured, and they have to, fight to free, you know, the compatriots, and before long, they're all rushing headlong into the Misty Mountains, into tunnels, because there's giants that are throwing stones over the mountains, and throwing rocks, and so they have to get in to get away from the rocks. But as soon as they get in, they encounter a terrible world of goblins.
It's horrible.
Yeah, so the goblins have a lot of the tunnels in the Misty Mountains, and they're very, very uncool. So the group gets split up again, and the dwarves and Gandalf have a hard time getting through to the woods after passing through the mountains. But Bilbo gets separated from them. Now, what happens is, this is where Bilbo actually gets the ring.
The ring that rules them all.
Well, it's the same ring, as far as I know. Yeah, and at this point, the ring is maybe a little more benign, but still obviously very powerful. And at one point, basically Bilbo gets cornered by Smeagol, aka Gollum. And so Smeagol, in the mountains here, near the goblins, gets into a battle of riddles with Bilbo. Because you know what? You know at the beginning of one of the Lord of the Rings movies, they show how Smeagol loses the ring, and then, or Gollum loses the ring, and then Bilbo finds it. But what they don't really portray there, which I think they're going to portray in the upcoming Hobbit movie, is that they have like a riddle battle. And it'll be interesting to see how they put that in the movie, because it's this type of thing that's very much, you know, a novel type thing, a book kind of thing. So they get through the Misty Mountains, but on their way out, they know they're being pursued by goblins. But not only that, the goblins have compatriots. You know who works with the goblins?
Who?
It's an animal, a pack animal.
A wolf.
A whole pack of wolves who are like super smart and talk and are very dangerous and communicate with the goblins. So the wolves chase Gandalf and the dwarves and Bilbo up into these tall trees. Probably sort of like tall trees like those ones we saw in Michigan recently. And, okay, so now they're all up in these tall trees, and the wolves are making plans. They're huddling around. They're talking. They're talking about how they're going to get the goblins. The goblins can climb trees. So it's just a matter of surrounding them, and they send wolves to guard them and stuff. So just as the goblins are about to start showing up, Gandalf decides he has to do something, so he shoots fire at the wolves' coats, and a whole bunch of the wolves go running around on fire. And at this point, is chaos ensues, but it really doesn't help that they're still stuck up in the trees, right? So they get help from a friendly animal. And animals help Gandalf and Bilbo and the dwarves?
Which ones?
Well, they're a very noble animal that Gandalf knows the language of.
Horse.
No, they help them get away through the air.
Birds.
Well, yeah, what kind of birds?
Eagles?
Yeah. There's these like super intelligent, friendly talking eagles that pick up Gandalf grab them or let them hold on, and the dwarves and all the dwarves, Feely and Hughie and Thorin and also, Bilbo and then Gandalf, they all get carried a long way away from the Misty Mountains. And then they get set down and they start hiking for a while, and Gandalf says, "I know someone here who can help us." But he sometimes appears as a human and sometimes as a bear. And so there's this guy who puts him up for a little while and helps him get some supplies and food, who actually appears to them as a very rough-edged human. But Gandalf tells them stories and gets them interested about what they've been doing. And then they help. So this guy gives them some ponies and some supplies. But he demands that his ponies be sent back after they take another stretch of their journey. Because do you know why he wants the ponies back?
Why?
Well, he doesn't want the ponies to go to the next place that's ahead. You know what kind of territory this thing is?
Racetrack.
Almost. Close. It's a forest. So it's a Mirkwood forest. And they, it's this really dark, dangerous forest. And there's this one road through it. But instead of staying on that road, which we find out later may have not led much of anywhere anyway, they get pulled in by one of the people there drinks this dark water that flows in a stream through the forest, and he starts having visions.
Wow.
It's like this psychedelic water.
Cool.
So he says, "I see an elven king in the woods and much feasting," and they're hungry and stuff, you know? So instead of just staying on the trail, they go wandering in because they see torches in the forest. But the second they come upon this gathering where they hear food being cooked and they hear people singing and celebrating, playing instruments, the second that Bilbo and the dwarves walk into the clearing where this is being held, do you know what happens?
What happens?
Everybody disappears. The lights go out. Everybody disappears. So they see another gathering in the distance. And they go and walk up to that one. That one, the lights all go out and everybody disappears. And then a third one appears, and this is the one that the guy had the vision about. There is an elven king. They do have much feasting and partying going on. But again, they're not acknowledged when they come into this group. Instead, everyone disappears. But instead of everyone just disappearing and people not knowing where they are, the dwarves and Bilbo are scattered, and they're screaming in terror, and it's a dark, terrifying forest. And they're just stuck in the middle of it, and they don't know what to do, and they get separated. And then Bilbo comes upon a whole gang of terrifying spiders.
Yikes.
And so after he just barely gets away from them, he has to actually sneak in and get the dwarves freed, because those elves have gotten pretty angry, and they've at the edge of the forest they have this cave, and they've been imprisoned in a cave. The dwarves were captured by the elves, and they've been imprisoned in the cave. So Bilbo starts using his ring to sneak in, get them out, he puts them in barrels. The barrels are thrown because he knows that these barrels are going to be thrown down this river, and the river takes the barrels to Lake Town. And they finally get out of Lake Town wet. Some of them are like, you know, had a hard time. I mean, they rode in barrels. It was, you know, other than like Bilbo, I guess, was kind of like, I don't know, like traveling with them, but he didn't have to be in a barrel. Maybe he was on top of one, or I don't know, like be or in a boat because the dwarves had to be hidden. So finally they break out of the barrels. Some of them are like, you know, had a very rough trip, but they all survive. And then they talk to the people in Lake Town. Lake Town is a city, but it's built out into the water. And so it's like there's people there. There's men and women. It's humans. It's not elves or something else, goblins or whatever. And so it's a city that is there. They do trade with the elves down, you know, upriver. Now there are stories of a time when this upland area called Dale was actually occupied with people, and it's laying waste now because it's too near Lonely Mountain, which is patrolled by the terrifying dragon Smaug. So now Smaug faces the terrifying spectacle of a handful of dwarves and one hobbit coming up the mountain. So of course he's very confident when finally, after some, you know, journeying, Bilbo wanders into his lair but disappears. Dragons can smell very well. So he talks to Bilbo. But he's trying to find him and he can't find him, but he talks to him and he's very confident, you know, what are you gonna, you know, what do I have to be worried about from you? But the dragon is a bit annoyed that people have been messing with this stuff, right? I mean, he thinks it's humans. He can't see Bilbo and he doesn't know about the dwarves. So he decides these humans are getting pretty annoying. So he goes to Lake Town, which is the nearest human settlement. And he's there breathing fire, screwing it up really bad. And there's this one guy who's the heir of the Kings of Dale. And he's like the only decent soldier in Lake Town. And so he knows where to shoot a dragon. Because this dragon actually wears armor. So it's not only is it a dragon, it actually wears armor. With jewels in it, of course. But there's always a flaw, I guess, in armor. Well, there's a flaw in this one, and there's a certain guy who knew how to shoot it, but of course he shoots it down over Lake Town. And Lake Town is, you know, like a pontoon city. So the weight of the dragon dying on Lake Town after being shot with the arrow basically destroys Lake Town. Most of the people had fled to boats already. Some of them died in the deprivation to follow, but they said, well, the dragon is dead. We can go get the gold. Let's tell the elves. And so they figured that the dragon had killed those dwarves. They'd seen them come through, but they didn't really, I mean, you know, he was a dragon. They barely beat him, and they were like a mass of people. So, you know, they figured they were in great shape. It turns out the men and the elves come to the Lonely Mountain, and it's already been fortified by Bilbo and by the dwarves. And they say, come, give us our share of the treasure. And the dwarves aren't really that interested in sharing. And that's where our story leaves off. I have, like I said, a few dozen pages left. And I'm guessing this might be about where the first two movies go through. So what do you think of this story so far?
Sounds really weird and trippy and looking at all like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, you probably would notice some similarities, but there are definitely a lot of differences, and the world, like I said, is very broad that they're just kind of, you know, passing through it here. What do you think of the movies? Like, do you think that they have a lot of cinematic potential?
Definitely. It'd be cool to see the dragon, especially.
Yeah, you're right. The depiction of Smaug is very key. I guess it'll be cool. Like, sometime around the end of this year is when the first movie's going to come out. Thanks for listening to the DJMCloud.com podcast, episode number 50. You can listen to more episodes by going to the website at DJMCloud.com, and you can find show notes, and you can play previous episodes. You can also find the podcast on iTunes. Search for DJMCloud. And also check out Jessica's website at jessica.sf3am.com. You can send feedback to djmcloud@sf3am.com. And thank you very much, Jessica, for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Hello. Yeah. What's up? We'll be right back.